Hi folks, welcome once again to another presentation of our program for the layman. We are so glad that you've joined us, and such a blessing being together. We regard this as something like a fireside chat as we discuss those elements that are extremely important for our lay people to get to grips with so that they can be fully equipped for their work in the ministry. The last couple of weeks we've been looking at marriage, and specifically to equip our marriage counselors so that they would be able to have a strong basis on which to administer God's truth to those who are in need in this area. And it's also very important to know that it's the wisdom of God that must prevail, not the clever thoughts and the ingenuity of the human mind. Sometimes, because we are humanists at heart, as fallen creatures, we come up with a humanistic approach to how to solve marriage problems and how to deal with marriage when there are issues. And actually, that's where the problem comes in. And that's why in the world today, even in the church, you have a humanistic approach and a humanistic base for looking at marriage. And that is a major problem, because the only foundation that you can have for marriage is what we learn from Scripture. Now, I'd like us to look at Matthew chapter 19, and I'm reading from the NIV. We read from verse 1, when Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went to the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Now comes the issue. Some Pharisees, verse 3, came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? We won't go into the subtleties of their challenge to him or what their motives were. We'll just look at the issue. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Do you know, it's heartbreaking that today, when young people get married, even in the church, they are already discussing what's going to happen when they get divorced. It's almost as if they have embedded into their approach the realistic, or shall I say, the expected way of thinking that maybe this marriage is going to end up on the rocks. And the reason why they think like that is because when they look around them, even amongst the Christian believers, they see left, right, and center, people are getting divorced. Things are falling apart, and it's as if there's such a lackadaisical, callous, and maybe unconcerned view of what marriage really is. Now, let's have a look at the Lord Jesus' answer to the Pharisees. He said, in verse 4 of Matthew 19, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. I cannot emphasize enough that when this issue arose, the Lord Jesus took them back to the blueprint. He took them back to the original creation order, the way that God had intended it to be, the way he made it at the beginning. That wasn't just an ad hoc, something that came out of nowhere. It was according to God's plan. God made male, and God made female, a man and a woman. It's Adam and Eve. And then he goes on in verse 5 and he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So together, as male and female complementing one another, they become one entity. So, verse 6, he says, they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. That is such a powerful statement, an injunction that stands above everything else. Let man not interfere with this. Let man not take it upon himself to say, we can break this thing up, or we will follow our own heads and go our own way. Now, just like people today would respond and say, but what about this, but what about that, but this, that, they would want some other way that is sometimes at loggerheads with the way that God would have wanted it. And verse 7 we read, typically, why then, they asked, these Pharisees, why then did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? They're going back to Moses, they're going back to the Torah, the law, and they say, well, this is permitted in the law. Moses did that. But the Lord Jesus was ready for them. He replied, verse 8, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. Don't blame Moses for this. It wasn't Moses' fault. Probably you'd have ended up killing one another if something wasn't done. It's because of you. It's because of the broken state of who you are. You're a broken person, and you are failing in being able to keep this marriage together. So before you devour each other, then let's rather separate it. And then he goes on to say, and this is the core, but it was not this way from the beginning. He's taking us right back to Genesis. He's taking us back to the beginning, the origin, the roots. He says it was not from the beginning. And then he goes on and he says, verse 9, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, and marries another woman, commits adultery. And that is directly now a breaking of one of the Ten Commandments. And as you know, the breaking of the Ten Commandments is not a matter that can be taken glibly or casually, because when you break one of the Ten Commandments, you come under a curse. That has a direct effect. It has certain negative outcomes for a person who breaks the commandments. So when you read that a man will be united to his wife and the two will become one flesh, there's not specifically a commandment that is tied up to the Ten Commandments relating to marriage per se that says, thou shalt not get divorced. And the Lord was very wise in bringing adultery in here, because what he's saying now is when you divorce your wife, it is tantamount to breaking one of the Ten Commandments. It's like breaking the first commandment that says you shall have no other gods before me. It's like breaking the commandment that says thou shalt not steal. So, to divorce your wife is then tantamount to breaking one of the commandments, and that will invite upon you a curse, and things would not go well. Obviously, if people are unbelievers and they divorce, they do what sinners do. They are under curse anyway. They need to come to the Lord Jesus to have that curse broken. And when they get converted, when they surrender themselves to the Lord, part of what they receive is not only forgiveness and the change and transformed life through repentance, but also deliverance from the curse, because the Lord Jesus died on the cross. And the Bible says, cursed is anyone who is hangs on a tree. So he was nailed to the cross so that he could take the curse that came because, for example, of divorce. Undoubtedly, it brings a curse. So those who are contemplating it, you think, and realize that they are going to be worse off after the divorce than what they were before the divorce. Why I'm saying this is that some people say, you know, the hell that I'm going through within my marriage cannot be, it's so bad that divorce cannot be worse than this. But that's because they don't know. They don't know what it's like to break one of the Ten Commandments and then suffer the consequences of that. So the Lord Jesus, by saying, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, and marries another woman, commits adultery. By using that phrase, he has linked the marriage and the dissolving of the marriage directly to the Ten Commandments. It's a breaking of one of the commandments. Especially if a man has divorced his wife and then gets married to another woman. That is adultery. Whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not, whether it sounds good to us or not, whether it's pleasing for us to hear or not, it makes no difference at all. This is what God's Word says, and we must not imagine that we can know better than God's Word, or that we are superior in our thinking and feeling as far as God's Word is concerned. Now, some people will say that this particular verse, the Lord Jesus gives grounds for divorce, because he says there, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, and then he says, except for marital unfaithfulness. They say, well, you see, my wife has been unfaithful. Or the wife says, my husband has been unfaithful. So I have now got grounds to leave him. I've got grounds for divorce. Let it be clearly stated, so that there is no misunderstanding at all. This verse that the Lord Jesus spoke does not constitute grounds for divorce. There are no grounds for divorce. When divorce takes place, the Lord Jesus said, it's because of the hardness of your heart. It's because of your rebellion, your stubbornness, your stiff-neckedness, your lack of repentance, your lack of brokenness. It's just that your hearts are hard. That's why the divorce happens. Or, secondly, it is possible that somebody has been unfaithful. He refers to it as marital unfaithfulness. If the man has a mistress, or the wife has an adulterous relationship outside of that marriage, what he is saying now is not that on those grounds you can divorce, but he's saying that because of that, de facto, the marriage has been broken. What it really means is that don't even go there. Don't even start flirting. Don't begin to have roaming eyes, and don't begin to have fantasies. Don't even begin to look at other women, as the Bible says, to desire her in your heart, because then you are already guilty of adultery. So it's very deep, and it's very important that there must be a commitment, a dedication, a resolve to remain faithful to your wife, just as one had taken those vows in the beginning, for better, for worse, sickness and health. Doesn't matter what comes your way, it's not just for nice good times. It's not just for fair weather and lovely sunshine. It's also to go through the challenges of the hardships and the difficulties of this broken world in which we are living. So just to close off before the break, let me say that the verse when the Lord Jesus said, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, and marries another woman, commits adultery. He's not saying that if there has been marital unfaithfulness, Therefore now you can divorce your wife, because that will exonerate you from adultery. It will pardon you and excuse you. You will not be held guilty. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying is that the divorce has taken place because of the marital unfaithfulness. That's where it begins. So the marriage has already been broken. It's not as if he's still deciding to divorce his wife. He's done it already. While you process that, let's take a short music break.
See the light, can you feel Him burning, the love of Christ? Are you born again, can you see His light? Is your spirit alive with Jesus Christ? Even in the days of Jesus, there came a man, Nicodemus, asking Him, Lord, what can be done? I know I gotta change before I'll see the sun. Jesus replied, I'm telling you now, unless you're born again, you'll never see the light. Don't be afraid to open your heart. Let the Holy Spirit blow through your heart. Are you born again? Can you see the light? Can you feel Him burning, the love of Christ? Are you born again? Can you see His light? Is your spirit alive with Jesus Christ? So now, my friends, let's settle the score. Are you living this blind life so proud in your awe? Jesus is standing, knocking on your door. I'm asking this question you just can't ignore. Are you born again? Can you see the light? Can you feel Him burning, the love of Christ? Are you born again? Can you see His light? Is your spirit alive with Jesus Christ? I know you may wonder if it's possible now. There is no question, there is no doubt. Anyone who's thirsty for the waters of life, there is a river, the river of life. Are you born again? Can you see the light? Can you feel Him burning, the love of Christ? Are you born again? Can you see His light? Is your spirit alive with Jesus Christ? Is your spirit alive with Jesus Christ?
Praise the Lord. We're back again, and I'm sure you've been blessed by that music. How wonderful it is to worship the Lord together in the same way. I'm going to just slowly go over that verse again so that there's no confusion. And please feel free to contact us if you have any question about it. In verse 8 of Matthew 19, the Lord Jesus says, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. So if we want to know what is God's heart regarding marriage, we have to go back to the beginning. That's what the Lord Jesus did. He was saying, in other words, in so many words, we sit here with a situation where people are broken, marriages are broken, people have been divorced and separated, and everything has fallen apart. But that's not how God planned it. That's not how He made it. That's not what He wanted. So if you want to know, you got to go right back to the beginning. And then He comes up and He says, look, I tell you, that's verse 9 of Matthew 19, that anyone who divorces his wife. Now, I'm just going to stop there to highlight the fact that he's referring to the action that is taken to officially get the certificate of divorce from Moses, so to say. Remember, in verse 7, they, after challenging him, questioned and said, why then did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? So the certificate of divorce was a kind of legal document. It was a formal dissolution of the marriage, and that would allow the man to send his wife away, as they used to do that in their culture. But now the Lord Jesus is speaking about this active action, this conscious effort, this physical thing that is done as far as divorce is concerned. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, meaning now he goes to the priest or he goes to the official charged with this and he says, I want to divorce my wife, please give me a certificate of divorce. That's a certain action, a certain practical step that is taken there. Now he says, if I can just complete the sentence, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery. So, how can you commit adultery if you have been divorced from your wife, or if the marriage has been annulled? What the Lord is saying here is that when he marries another woman, he's now taking another woman while he's still married to his original wife. He may think, I've divorced my wife, and this certificate of divorce, because it's official, gives me now the right to marry somebody else. But from God's perspective, even if Moses gave the certificate of divorce, that person is not really divorced. That marriage is not annulled. It still exists. So, in God's eyes, the husband and the wife are still married. He gets a certificate of divorce. He goes and marries another woman, but he's actually, in God's eyes, still married to his original wife. So that means he's leaving his wife and going to another woman. It's regarded as unfaithfulness towards his wife. So he is committing adultery. And in fact, he's also causing that person to commit adultery as well. It's like a double adultery. So that is, if you complete the sentence, you just leave the phrase, except for marital unfaithfulness, out, so that the full sentence can be put together without the diversion. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, marries another woman, commits adultery. That's the word of the Lord Jesus. It has even greater authority than Moses, we can say. So it's there, it's hard and fast, it's like the law of the Medes and the Persians. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery. Now, if the church maintained this, if the church held on to this, not only would our homes be happier, the church as a whole would be more stable, society would be affected by that, and we wouldn't have what we have in terms of the corruption, the crime, the violence, all the stuff that's disrupting our world today, all the anger, the racism, the woke movement, the critical race theory and all the stuff that goes with it, the horrible things which we have to face in our broken world today. It would not be like that. But here's the root of it, you see. Now, the main sentence is, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery. Let's have a look now at the subclause of that sentence. The subclause of that sentence is, except for marital faithfulness. If you read it loose standing, it will almost seem as if here is the only reason why you will legitimately have the right to separate and divorce from your wife. But that is not what this sentence is saying. The sentence is not saying, listen here, when there's been marital unfaithfulness, now you have all the grounds you need to say to your wife, go away, I don't want you anymore, and break that relationship. That's not a license for divorce. It's not permission that is given for you to leave your wife. What the Lord Jesus is saying, where the application for a certificate of divorce is an action step that is taken with the intention of destroying or breaking up this marriage, the unfaithfulness in either the heart of the husband or the heart of the wife when they get involved with somebody else constitutes divorce de facto. So it constitutes that this person has actually broken their marriage. The marriage is not broken when a judge says you are divorced and gives an order. The marriage isn't dissolved when the contractual basis is now cancelled. He's saying the physical act of being unfaithful to your spouse, husband or wife, constitutes a divorce. So the getting involved with somebody who's not your husband or your wife is on the same level as going and applying for a certificate of divorce. In this case, you're not applying for the certificate of divorce. You have just taken matters into your own hands. It's a unilateral declaration of divorce. The act of adultery is an act of divorce. So what he's saying now is maybe you never had any intention to go to the priest or the judge for that matter and apply for a certificate of divorce. That was not where you were wanting to go. But you must know the adultery, the act of getting involved with somebody who's not your life partner, is indeed a divorce. It means that marriage has been broken. The bonds that are there, the trust relationship, the union, all of that has now been affected. And usually it's because the powers of darkness, the evil spirits, they have got involved there as well. And, you know, there is actually no real way of getting out from the consequences of that. Sometimes when people were unbelievers and they divorced, and marriage is broken and the other partner got married again, of course there can be no reconciliation after that. So now that they've become Christians, it may be possible under rare and unusual circumstances where God can lead someone to get married to somebody else, but it has to be the Lord, and it has to be because the past has been forgiven and forgotten. They did that as unbelievers. They were not under the law. They were law unto themselves. They were exonerated from the law because they were not believers. They don't submit to the law. They're not held accountable by the law. They are sinners outside the law. Now they've come to the Lord since being divorced, and then God leads them to get married. That is possible. but it has to be under very carefully managed and controlled and carefully evaluated circumstances, and definitely counselors would have to be involved, godly counselors who would be able to direct in that way. Well, I hope that this sharing has been a blessing to you, and that it gives you a solid grounding as a counselor when you deal with this, that you would be consistent and uncompromising in proclaiming what God's will is in this regard. God bless.